The world of ministry to teenagers can offer a full range of emotion, interesting challenges, rewarding victories, and discouraging difficulty. It is important to remember that the work we do with students is vital. It is good to be reminded that what you do matters and is appreciated. We hope that the time you spend here will encourage you and equip you to hit the mark in life and ministry. Welcome to the SCOPOST Podcast, impacting youth ministry in Oklahoma and beyond.
Hello and welcome to the SCOPOST Podcast. This is Todd Sanders. We're so glad you joined us today. In this episode, Ed Newton, the senior pastor of Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, joins us talking about the truth of God in you as you lead in youth ministry.
Hey, my name is Ed Newton, senior pastor of Community Bible Church here in San Antonio, Texas. I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak concerning the priority of God's Word in your life. As we talk about the priority of God's Word, we have to understand from the very beginning it was God's plan to speak to us. It was God's plan that we would receive a word from Him. And as we look at the truth of God's Word found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we see that God creates Adam and Adam becomes a living being. Therefore, he's fully awake to the God factor. Ecclesiastes 3:11 would say it this way, that man now has eternity in his heart. So as we think about the eternality of the very essence of why we were created with a soul, to be in relationship with God, may we see the significance in the breath of God. Therefore, Adam receives the breath of God, awakened to the God factor, alert and alive, fully spiritually capable of being in a living, breathing, real relationship with God. Now, sin is entered into the story in Genesis chapter 3, and we see that that causes division and separation. Isaiah 59:2 teaches that our sins have separated us from God. Meanwhile, the pattern of God hasn't changed. That is, God seeks to still speak to us, but he uses prophets and he uses those men and women that would go before him to deliver a message on behalf of him. But it's still the word of God. When you think about God giving the commandments unto Moses to pass on to the people, it's God who seeks to be known, discovered, and found. But it's still the breath of God that's upon the word of God that allows us to know the significance. Think about it this way. God breathes on Adam, and Adam becomes a living being, fully awake, fully alive. Sin enters into the picture, causing our hearts to be rebellious and propensity unto sin. But it's the good news of the gospel that allows us to know the truth of why we were created, and that is to be in relationship with him, to know him personally, to be fully known and fully loved. But watch how this all comes together. It's in Romans chapter 10, verse 17 that we understand faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So it's the breath of God on humanity that created us to be in relationship with God. Sin enters into the picture, creates division because of our rebellion towards God. But God relentlessly pursues us, and the way that he pursues us is through the proclamation of God's word. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And watch how this connects. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or God breathed. So the breath of God upon Adam, the breath of God upon his word, shows us the priority of God's word in our life, that God has breathed on his word, much like when he breathed on us to be in relationship with him. Sin creating the barrier, Jesus breaking down the barrier, creating the bridge. And it's the word of God that allows us to cross over. And so as we see the significance of God's word in our life in proclamation, may we know to be true as we try to get God's word in us, that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword because it's alive. Got done talking about the priority of God's word, but now we want to talk about the personalization of God's word. As we continue on in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for teaching, for rebuking or correcting and training in righteousness. Then it goes on to say in verse 17 that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we see the significance of God's word earlier in our storyline, the meta-narrative, that all of the Bible is about the story of redemption, God relentlessly pursuing humanity. And he does that through his spoken word. And therefore, as we embrace His Word, knowing that God desires to speak to us, we receive revelation, and revelation demands response. And so as we understand that God's Word is the greatest love letter that's ever been written, may we run to the mailbox every single day with eager anticipation, excitement, enthusiasm, to glean from His Word, that our lives would marinate in His Word, that the truth of His principles would percolate in our soul, that all that it could do is come up and come out. So as we talk about the personalization of God's Word, one of the things that you need to know to be true is that oftentimes as preachers and Sunday school teachers and small group leaders that are seeking to rightly divide the Word of truth, we find ourselves so often consumed in the presentation instead of the personalization. That is, may we be very faithful to create sacred space in our life to glean from God's Word, not because we're delivering it, preaching it, sharing it, but because we're called to live by it. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have been changed by the good news of the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But the Word of God, divinely used by the role of the Holy Spirit in our life to convict us of sin and also clarify how we could stay away from sin. So as we think about the power of God's Word, we immediately go back to Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is in the wilderness and He's being tempted by Satan. And what comes out of the heart of Jesus is Scripture. We understand the enemy seeks to twist and tweak and turn God's Word to lead us unto destruction, to cause us to question the heart of God. But it's Jesus that shows us the power of God through His Word. But in order for us to rightly divide God's Word and deliver it, we have to rightly apply it personally, and therefore sacred space in our life and our faith journey is of a priority. I'm sitting in this very room. It's my office here at my home. And in this yellow chair, and behind me you see my coffee cup. And this is the space where I spend time with God. Oftentimes my ADD gets in the way, but it's here that I journal. It's here that I have a Bible reading plan. It's here that I seek to memorize Scripture, therefore attempting to get in God's Word, but not just getting God's Word, but for God's Word to get in me. Not just seeking to underline verses, but these verses to underline me. And not just to read through God's Word, but God's Word to read through me. And as we understand that God's Word is living and active, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, may we live our life not just in preparing messages, but personalizing the messages, because to be an effective communicator at whatever level that you find yourself in today, it has to begin from the inside out, that the Word of God would be rightly applied in our life. And I say this all the time. Before I could ever preach to the congregation, I've been called to share a message of hope to. These messages have to be first preached to me. And the way they become first preached to me is that I spend time in God's Word for the purpose of seeking to be sanctified by truth. When I'm sanctified by truth, it's the Holy Spirit that begins to use His eternal Word, knowing that it will never return void. Isaiah 55 speaks of that. His Word never returns void. So as I just spend time in God's Word, not just underlining and highlighting and underscoring, but as I read through God's Word, praying through God's Word, asking the Holy Spirit to allow these truths to create root and anchors in my heart, then here's what you'll find out. The more that you and I get in God's Word and we seek to understand His Word, rightly apply His Word for personal spiritual growth, what will happen is, it's an analogy that I heard from someone else, that as we continue to go to the Word of life, and that is the fountain of life in Jesus through His Word, the role of the Holy Spirit, much like a bucket in the well, begins to scoop down and bring this fresh cup of hydrating water for thirsty souls that we have been entrusted to shepherd. As He, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that is, draws from the Word that we have put down deep in our soul into the well of our heart, the Holy Spirit continues to scoop up that Word and deliver it in a timely manner, which is why you hear the Scripture teach us to be ready in season and out of season. But when that bucket, that is, the Holy Spirit, goes down into the well of our heart, how much Scripture have we tucked away? How much Scripture have we put down in our heart that the Holy Spirit can activate and engage our minds? We have the mind of Christ, as Philippians chapter 2, 5 says. And through the mind of Christ, knowing His Word, allowing it to rightly be divided, but in order for it to be rightly divided and shared and expressed and taught, it has to be in us. So my prayer for all of us today, as I challenge you and myself, matter of fact, as I'm listening to this message through an attentive ear and surrender to the Holy Spirit, may I find myself quick to create sacred space in my life, wherever you find yourself in the busyness of life, sitting in that chair, whatever it is for you. It may not be this mustard yellow chair, as I have this chair where I sit every morning asking God to speak to me, not just for a congregation to receive a word, but for me to walk with God in truth and faith. Till we meet again. Much love. In this final segment, I want to say, first of all, that as we talked about the priority of God's Word and now the personalization of God's Word, we have to talk about the power of God's Word. The power of God's Word simply is a reminder to all of us that as Christians, we are not on the defensive, but on the offensive. As we talk about Ephesians chapter 6, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, that element that holds it all together, feet readied with the gospel. There's one offensive weapon, and that is, it's the sword of the Lord. We referenced it earlier. It's Ephesians 4, speaking of the word of God as living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we think about the two-edged sword, we must understand it's God's word that penetrates into the hearts of those that are listening. But we also must understand that there is a battle, not of flesh and blood, but of principalities and demonic forces. And so we seek to take every thought captive in Jesus Christ. For the weapons that we fight with are not of this world, but we understand that they have power. What is that power? It's the Holy Spirit power activating through the Word of God to demolish and tear down strongholds. So we speak in power in Jesus' name because the authority of God's Word, that as we have His Word, all authority has been given unto Jesus, and that authority has been bestowed upon us. And through the anointing of God that's on our life because of the salvation and the hope of Christ in you, you and I, as we seek to walk in the power of God's Word, must understand that power of God's Word reminds us of the significance that when we speak not in vain, but a great truth that what's going forward has the ability to redirect and transform someone's life forever. So the power of God's Word, not just the priority of God's Word, but the personalization of God's Word, leads us to walk in power. And as we seek to be effective in all of our ministry context, may we know that God's Word has the ability to create life change. So as we seek to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that is in Galatians chapter 5, that we have been saved, sanctified, and therefore as we're led by the Spirit, may we walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit through the activation of God's Word personally in our life. Then as we seek to submit and surrender to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, then we begin to join Him in a divine mission to advance the gospel. But it's the going forward of His Word in power. It's Romans chapter 10, that earlier part in verse 14. How shall they hear unless someone is sent? And so as we think about the sending out of God's Word, we understand we live in a generation that's biblically illiterate. And our ministries exist to eradicate biblical illiteracy. But in order for that to happen, I want to challenge all of us in the effective delivery of God's Word. May we teach the Bible in context. Yes, the Word of God has to percolate in our heart, but may we know God's Word in context to be able to rightly divide God's Word in such a way that people, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, just popped up in my mind, which, by the way, can I speak to this? The whole time I've been talking, I literally have no notes in front of me. I'm not trying to brag nor boast. But by hiding God's Word in my heart, it's in this video session, I find myself so nervous on the other side of this camera. I find myself not knowing fully all that I was going to say. I'm so ADD and oftentimes so scattered. I have no notes in front of me. But it's God's Word that I've chosen to hide deep down in my heart, that as even as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit of God is activating promises of God. And it's Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, that is just on my heart right now. That the reading of God's Word was so powerful that it led people to respond in awe and worship. But Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8 would say this, that they read the Word of God, and made it clear for people to understand. So as we use God's word, may we understand that our role and responsibility in whatever form and fashion we serve in the kingdom is to rightly divide God's word, giving full integrity to God's word, not making the Bible say what we want it to say. See, the number one question all of us ask in sermon prep or even in Bible study preparation sometimes is the wrong question. And what is that wrong question? What does this mean to me? Before we can ever ask the question, what does this mean to me? We first have to ask, what did it mean to the original recipients of those that heard the Holy Spirit speak or those that received that divinely appointed word from that prophet or that preacher? And then as we understand the context in which the message was delivered, then we realize the significance. That is that the gold factor, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, personalizing God's word, seeing the power of God's word, and the priority of God's word, that is, we would dig so deep, we would mine out these truths. And when the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, I'm studying this, matter of fact, to deliver a message here soon on it. In Philippians 2, 13, it says that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Not stating that we work for our salvation, but we work out our salvation. How do we do that? That phrase, that word work, literally means to bring to full completion. That we would be like the miner. That's the actual word that's used. The miner that digs so deep into the soil, finding that mineral of great value, the treasure of God's word, going forward, proclaiming it in context, helping people. You are in a disciple-making conversation every time you are delivering God's word. And may our audiences that listen to the power of God's word actively engage in our own heart, our lives submitted and surrendered to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, may the hunger that you and I long for in our own hearts be immediately transferred to our audience and the recipients of God's word, that they would not walk away impressed with us, but they would walk away with a longing to be impressed by the Holy Spirit and God's word to be in their heart. I want to say thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being a part of this forum today. Know that your life is greatly being used to advance the kingdom. And as we're being reminded in recent days, and as a reminder that life is short and that God is good, and even though it seems as if evil is winning all around us, Jesus has overcome. And because he's overcome the grave, what a day to be at the table in the conversation today in this forum, asking God, would you use us to hold up your word with power and in passion, personalized in my life, making it a priority to allow God's word to rule and reign in me and be given in full revelation. We exist in a great opportunity to put a spotlight on Jesus in the darkness of everything that's going on around us. The privilege is ours to be at the table today, called unto ministry, unto mission, and that is to make much of the kingdom. Matt Papa said this, and I'll give this to you in closing. Either we're using God to build our kingdom, or God's using us to build his kingdom. And if we're kids of the king, then we want to tell the whole world what he said. And he has given us his revelation. And there may we be faithful to effectively deliver it, making it clear. But in order for us to effectively deliver it, we have to effectively live by it. And in order to effectively live by it, we have to know it. And so as we know it, may we hide God's word in our heart and treasure it above all things. Until we meet again.
Scopus and the Scopus Podcast are ministries of the BGCO and made available through the generous gifts of Oklahoma Baptist to the Cooperative Program. Find out more about Oklahoma Youth Ministry at scopus.org.